everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Here we go on a Friday afternoon. Gonna be a scorcher. This is going to be the hottest weekend of the year so far. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, the only silver lining will be that sometimes these really hot temperatures kind of fire up the thunderstorms.
Got my fingers crossed. They're saying about 111 maybe for tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
But then we're going to moderate to about 104, 105 Monday through Tuesday, and then by Thursday back up to 110? Yikes.
Well, yeah, and they are saying that maybe some thunderstorm activity on the horizon, but, you know, it's not imminent. By any stretch of the imagination. It's the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. It's Friday. It's the 10th of June, 2022. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. We are now in our 12th year with the radio program. The radio program started after 22 years of me on the TV, with Channel 6 and Arizona Illustrated. So altogether, we're in our 34th year. One of the real broadcast veterans here in Southern Arizona. The worldwide listening and podcast for the show at buckmastershow.com when we do our live lines, which we will be doing here in a moment. Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management, sponsors our live line. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Joining me for our Friday Focus interview is Eddie Celaya. Eddie is a reporter who covers the cannabis beat for the Arizona Daily Star. He's host also of a very popular podcast called Hear Weed, W-E-E-D, Go, and also a newsletter about the cannabis business. Eddie, good to see you.
Bill, so good to be here.
You're doing real well. 5 podcasts so far?
So far, and with the 6th one coming out this next Wednesday.
Wow, growing audience and really a nationwide audience, Eddie, that you're building up. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Health Director, Dr. Teresa Cullen. Dr. Cullen, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting us again.
Well, you know, everyone I know, well, I shouldn't say everyone I know. Let me put it this way. It seems like everybody that you talk to knows of someone who is either has COVID or is just getting over it. And I'm understanding that half of the cases are breakthrough cases that we're seeing. And this is very curious. Do you think it's a variant that's getting working? It's what the part of the Omicron family that's kind of finding a way to kind of go around the people that have been fully vaxxed? Or is it having to do with maybe letting our guards down, those of us that have had some vaccination?
Oh, this is such a great question. We also are saying probably everybody we know knows somebody or they themselves have recently had an infection with COVID. So I would agree with your observation that we do seem to have a lot of cases. Let me preface this by saying we did just increase our transmission rate above 200, which means we went from low transmission per the CDC to medium transmission. So people's observations are reflected in the data, even though we know the vast majority of people are testing at home as opposed to testing in a lab site that has to report to us. So what do we think is causing this? Well, there's some good news in that our vaccination rates continue to creep up. In terms of the increased number of cases, you're right, about 47 to 50% we believe are occurring in people that are vaccinated. We've somewhat moved from the term breakthrough to another term that sounds exactly like it, vaccine escape. Whoa. So the virus is escaping the vaccination as opposed to breaking through the vaccination. It's kind of a chameleon out there. What do we think the variant is? We know it's mostly an Omicron variant, BA 2.1, 2.1. So not that anybody needs to roll that off their tongues, but it is consistent with what we saw earlier in the late spring on the East Coast when, you know, New York had an increase and it went west as this vaccine, as this infection seems to be doing.
Yeah, and I wanted to follow up on the daily case numbers. Those are now reported as a weekly total. I believe we were over 2,000 cases in Pima County on the last weekly total. Mm-hmm. That would mean we're close to around 300 cases a day. And some believe, and I'd like your opinion on this, you could multiply that by about five, at least mm-hmm. five, because of so many people who are testing at home. Everybody's got the kits at home. They're doing the testing. So this thing is a lot more widespread than the numbers would indicate.
Yes, we would agree with that. The epidemiology approach to this has been anywhere between 3 to 5 times is probably the accurate number. So you're right to say five. In some cases, we think perhaps it's just 3 times the number that's being reported. In Pima County, we may be closer to that five because we did such an excellent job of sending out early when we had the at-home kits. Remember, we did those huge distributions, thousands at a time, and then the government pushed out home kits also. We also know that people can get them through their insurance at most pharmacies.
All right. Like me, Eddie Celaya of the Arizona Daily Star has a million questions in front of him. Let's let him begin his list of questions. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, Dr. Colin. Good to speak with you again. With a little bit of that conversation focusing on transmission rates, I have a few questions having to do with the booster shots. Number one, I've heard from people that it's becoming a little difficult to find them. So where can people go to find them where they might be available? And number two, should healthy kind of, I guess, middle-aged folks who are not in the high-risk categories, should they even really be considering a booster shot at this time?
So in terms of access, you should be able to get them at pharmacies. But I would say all of our clinics, the Pebble Health Clinics, and our Abrams building, which is on the campus where Banner South is, where people refer to as Keno if they've been in town a while, our clinic is we don't have a clinic here, but we have a site where we're offering boosters. And I know one of my friends came 2 days ago and only waited 5 minutes to get them. So they're definitely still available. And if you just search Pima County COVID vaccines, you'll get a list of where they're available as well as how our locations. In terms of when or who should get the booster, I agree with the CDC recommendations, 50 and over, and then if you are immunocompromised. And that list is, once again, on our website, who's considered immunocompromised. The question that we've been asked a lot, Eddie, is when should I get the booster, right? Like, if I already got one booster, should I now get the second booster? I'm eligible for it. You're eligible within, if you're more than 4 months after your first booster. And I would say right now, because we're seeing accelerated transmission, now's a good time to get that booster. I think there were some people that thought, oh, I should wait till the fall, but I wouldn't wait. I would get it now.
Just a quick follow-up to that, though, especially considering the vaccine escape that we were just discussing. How effective are these boosters that are on the market right now?
So this is a great discussion and a great question. So we need to look at this from a couple different perspectives. We did just indicate that 47 to 50% of people that are getting infections are vaccinated. So what that tells you is, right, you could still get COVID even though you've been fully vaccinated and boosted. We've seen that in people that are fully boosted. What we know, however, is that the admission rate and the severity, so admission to the hospitals and severity of the disease if you get COVID are significantly decreased in that population. So it is important for people to note that they still could get ill, But if they get ill, the odds of them having a serious consequence are minimal. And that's why the CDC's recommended this 50 and over. Remember, when we look at rates of hospitalizations and morbidity or death with COVID, it's highest in the older population. So that's why we really want to protect them. Could you still get a mild case of COVID? Yes.
Yeah, and it seems like the mild symptoms, and what we're hearing is temperature usually below 100, stuffy head, like almost a sinus infection. Some report some few chest issues, but it seems to kind of be mimicking a really bad cold.
Mm-hmm. The one other symptom that people are reporting repeatedly, though, is some fatigue.
Fatigue, yes.
Yeah. So to me, I always say to people, I love naps. They're my favorite thing. I think they're the closest thing you can get to heaven on earth is a nap. But, you know, many people hate naps. Yeah. So what people are reporting is, I have to nap. I hate to nap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, nap. Rest your body and you'll be okay.
Yep. Let's go to Matt, who called us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt, you're with Dr. Cullen.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Cullen. Well, you've had a little time now here in Tucson to enjoy our summers. When you first arrived, you know, and COVID first sort of took off, you were sort of new to the position, I think within a year. How have you seen the department and your funding and how many people do you have that report to you since this all, you know, has now occurred and we're sort of in a new stage? Talk to us a little bit about Pima County Health Department. Where are you guys? And the second thing is where are we as a health county? Do you communicate with the other directors of the hospitals, mm-hmm. TMC, UMC, and so forth, and even the VA especially, about what they're seeing on the county's health situation? How are we doing? Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, those are great questions. I love to wax long about the health department, so I'll try to go pretty quickly. You know, my goal is to make this one of the healthiest counties in the U.S. in 10 years, so I'm through two of it. I asked if I could have a reset and start it back at zero, but now I got eight more years. The health department, we have about 430 positions. We do have a high vacancy rate, very typical for health departments throughout the country, but we're working on it. It's about... it's usually around 25% vacancy. We have had some success recently in recruiting, so I think that that's good. But overall, you know, the health department has been pummeled like most other health departments because of COVID. So lots of staff have been redirected, in quotes, to work on the COVID response. As we become more nimble, more familiar, more ingrained in terms of how do we do an emergency response to a highly communicable infectious disease, we become more efficient. So the good news with that is almost all of them, our old programs that we had in place have reactivated. That's really important because the health of the community is not just COVID. It's really what else we can do for prevention, education, direct delivery of services, consumer food safety. How do we make sure those restaurants are okay for people to go eat at? How do we keep, how do we track West Nile, the things that people have heard about? How do we get immunizations out for kids and influenza? So I think we're doing well. We have support from the board and the administration. I'm fairly happy with that. Now, the larger question, though, is where do we fit overall? We do work really closely with the hospitals, the VA, the other private facilities in town, the healthcare systems overall. Actually, in the past week, we've met with two of the healthcare systems. We did just push out our community health needs assessment, which we did with the healthcare systems. And we have some commitments from them to work on a community health improvement plan. So I think that that's good. As far as the other counties, we did just score this really pretty cool thing. We got invited to be part of the Big City Health Coalition. Think big cities, Chicago, New York, LA. You might might not think of Tucson and Pima County there, but they expanded from 30 participants to 35. We were number 35, snuck in under the cutoff.
Just inside, right?
Just inside, but it's awesome because it's a learning collaborative for us. So our hope is that we'll be able to leverage these incredible people that are out throughout the United States, as well as obviously in Maricopa County, doing work to bring that back here. But I want to conclude my response to this is we are making this commitment, and it's a community-based commitment. The health department, we can do a lot, but we can't do any of this by ourselves.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Dr. Cullen, stay on the live line. We have a lot more for you in our second segment, but Eddie Celaya will stick around as well. And Eddie, you know what I want to talk about, Mona's Danish Bakery. What are you in the mood for after the show today?
I am feeling a Boston cream donut.
Kind of a donut.
Yeah, I'm a donut guy.
With a cream filling.
Yes, most definitely.
Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery can accommodate you with that, and they call it a Danish donut. It is a donut that is filled with some kind of a luscious cream filling, and I wish I had one to give you right now, but they are just fabulous, and that's their version of the donut at Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com, open right now for lunch. They open the door at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. People are waiting. They are in line. They want their pastries. They want their coffee. And Mona's conveniently located up in the foothills, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. More with Dr. Cullen, including the big COVID story today. And I'm telling you, you think airports are busy right now? The United States is dropping, as of this weekend, the COVID-19 testing requirement for travelers re-entering the United States. That means Mexico travel will explode as far as airline travel to Mexico, to Canada. And as if Europe wasn't busy enough, that's going to be another busy place. So we'll talk more with Dr. Cullen right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today, Dr. Teresa Cullen. She is the director of the Pima County Health Department. Eddie Celaya is with us. He covers the cannabis beat for the Arizona Daily Star. I mentioned before the break, Dr. Cullen, the big news from the CDC. They are dropping the testing requirement. The travel industry figured 50% of the people were putting off travel, international travel, because they just didn't want to, and I don't blame them, get a COVID test in a foreign country and have to, there's a huge expense. You got to wait till you test negative. I mean, this is going to really open the travel floodgates. You think it was a wise move?
Having heard the stories of people that have traveled overseas and tried to come back and how difficult it's been to get them, I think it's a wise move. I think if people are concerned, they should take a self-test for them. And they can just test wherever they are before they get on the plane.
Yeah, makes sense. Here's Eddie Celaya.
Hey, Dr. Cullen. So I wanted to touch a little bit on cannabis. It is my beat after all. And I was wondering if since legalization here in Arizona about a year and a half ago now, if there has been an uptick or an increase in the county seeing at their hospitals and at keeping track wise of marijuana intoxications, basically people who maybe took too much edibles or smoked something that was a little more potent than they expected. Are we seeing an increase in that? And I guess as a kind of corollary to that, are we seeing an increase in minors reporting that?
You know, we're, as far as I know, we're not. But Eddie, I would have to talk to like Arizona Poison Control. So what would happen is if you presented to a hospital and it was obvious that that's what it was, then the physician would just work with you or the provider. But in many cases, people might call the Arizona Poison Control. But I haven't heard that being reported.
Gotcha. Okay, so here's another one for you. With the issuing of the 26 licenses for the social equity licenses dispensaries, the county has decided, hey, we're going to make it a little bit easier as far as zoning wise for those who are looking to open up new dispensaries or new distribution centers to maybe come to the county and do that. As somebody who is a doctor in the health field, what is your view on marijuana as medicine, as treatment?
You know, I think that the data is becoming increasingly clear that there are real roles for cannabinoids in terms of treating diseases. I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago, but as the research has been coming in, obviously for certain conditions, it's been really effective. You know, for some people, for anxiety, for chronic pain situations, that's probably the one where we see the most prescriptions given. Remember, before it became overall legal recreational, when it was legal as medicinal for medicinal purposes. So I do think there's value. There's obviously a concern, right? Mm-hmm. And I would caution people, just like you would with any medication, that you would ensure that you were using it appropriately, judiciously, which means you're not overusing it, and you're not putting yourself in a situation where you may be putting others at risk, like, for instance, driving after you may have ingested marijuana gummies.
Gotcha. So one more question for you. Obviously, with the passage of Prop 207, County health departments were included in the entities that receive tax dollars from the sales of from recreational cannabis.
Yeah.
What is Pima County doing with those dollars? How is it implementing them? What does it look like here?
I'm really glad you're asking me this question. So we've had two payouts in quotes. I kind of get like a lottery card payout. So the state divvies up the money and it goes to lots of things. A small portion comes to the counties. Our payout was in, I think, last December or January and this past June. And we're in the process of developing a plan of what we're going to do with this funding. Now, remember, the funding is tax dependent, but I don't see any indication that the taxes are going to, the revenue will go down. Perhaps I'm wrong, but yeah, I don't see any indication of that. So we have received around $250,000 at each time. So that would give us about $500,000 a year. Our plan is to use this primarily for youth and to use it to do appropriate education interventions and support our school-based programs at this point. The reason for that decision, and obviously it hasn't gone through the board, and the board will make the final decision, but we're in the process of developing a spend plan for that, because that's the group that we're most worried about, that could have potential inappropriate use and or need other resources to be available to them for depression, anxiety, mental health, behavioral health, and other substance uses. So we are in the process of developing a spend plan for that, obviously predicated on this belief that we'll continue to see funding at approximately that level.
Are we getting any money from the settlements on the opioid situation?
What a great question. Yeah, we are. We haven't seen that yet. You know, once again, you're probably aware that the opioid settlement does indicate, at least in Arizona, that that funding should come to the health department. Once again, it's a very large amount of the overall settlement. Remember, it goes through a lot of channels before it comes to Pima County. We haven't seen that money yet. We are in the process, once again, of trying to develop a spend plan around that. Now, what I would tell you is our goal is to make sure that these are synergistic, right? So that we don't do funding in the schools and then come along and say, okay, we're going to do the same thing in quotes that we would do with the opioid money. We also believe that all of this money and the decisions around it really need to be made in conjunction with significant community input. And we're in the process of developing what we believe that community input will be, the process for it, so that we work appropriately and are transparent.
You know, I want to get back to the situation with COVID and these other problems like influenza, respiratory, known as RSV. You're getting a lot of things that should have peaked in February, like influenza, are now peaking in the summer. This is a very weird time. We have a lot of ill people in the community, not just from COVID, but from flu.
Yeah, we are seeing flu levels that we traditionally would see in February. And
yes,
if you just think back in your own experience, probably January and February were when you were most worried about getting the flu. Right now, our levels are actually higher than they have traditionally been in February. What's the cause of that? Everybody asked me that. I think some of it is the fact that people were masking, perhaps were more attentive to washing their hands, not being in large gatherings. But I don't know that that totally explains what we're seeing. We would recommend, I know this seems odd because it's already, June 9th, but that people seek, maybe it's the 10th, I don't know, remember, it's
10th,
in June,
yeah,
but or early June, but that people still can get a flu shot. If you
really?
Come to, yeah, and actually if you come to Abrams Building, if you come to our building to get your booster, you could get a flu shot at the same time. It's okay to get them. And we would recommend you do that if you haven't gotten a flu shot. Normally, I'd be a little hesitant to say, oh, you don't really need a flu shot in June, but right now, given the number of cases in the community, I would say if you haven't had one, get the shot.
Well, I had one, and I had it early, and now I'm really regretting that I had it so darn early. I had it last August when they first became available at the pharmacies. So if I had one in August, I know it's a long time since last August, almost a year, but you're saying I wouldn't necessarily need a flu shot, a second one.
Yeah, we only say you should get one a year, but I will tell you the new shots will probably be out in August.
Yes.
So you only have to wait two more months. But for people who haven't gotten them, and once again, Bill, you're also right. This RSV, which tends to be a respiratory illness that we see mostly in children, and the reason why we see it mostly in children isn't that it doesn't happen in adults. It's just kids seem to get sicker with it. We're also seeing that. So there's a lot of respiratory illness going around. Remember, COVID is a respiratory illness. So, you know, sneeze into your sleeve or make sure you don't sneeze or cough on others.
Yeah, it's interesting. Our big vacation last May, as many people know, I came back with a broken arm from Alaska, and I also came back with RSV, that was in May, and that was really bad. I had to get a chest x-ray and everything. I understand they're working on a vaccine very close to having one for RSV.
Yes, they've been working on that for a while, and I think they are fairly close to being having that available.
All right, Eddie wants to talk about monkeypox.
Dr. Cullen, I've got a few questions when it comes to monkeypox. And really, it comes down to how is it transmitted and how transmissible is it?
These are great questions. Before I answer your question, I want your listeners to know that we stood up a monkeypox webpage on Pima County Health Department. So if you just search Pima County Health Department monkeypox, it's there. We've been updating it regularly as more information comes out. And it does also have some information for healthcare providers because we know there's a zillion questions going around. So how do you usually transmit it? You know, the belief is that it's really skin-to-skin contact more than respiratory. You will recall the CDC came out, I think it was 2 days ago, and said, wear a mask, and then they pulled it back within 24 hours. And the reason why they pulled that back is we believe there's probably some very small respiratory transmission, but this is one of the few things that is not a respiratory transmission at the current time. How transmissible is it? It is not considered highly transmissible. We do have one case in Arizona. You guys are probably aware. It was in Maricopa. It got announced earlier this week. There's been no cases in Pima County. Our epidemiologists are on top of this one, and we have a phone number. We've taken some calls, you know, a handful of calls, less than 10, from community providers, and we've been working with them to figure out if any of the patients that they are seeing that they're concerned about, we really believe are at risk.
So monkeypox is a cousin of smallpox?
Yeah, well, it's in the same viral things, kind of like SARS is in the, you know, COVID is in the SARS viral family. So it's really the family of where it is. And that's why there's some belief that if you had smallpox vaccination, you may have some minimal protection from getting monkeypox.
Well, let's go back to COVID, and if you think about these waves we had, and it's kind of hard to keep track, some say this is wave 4 or 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. I believe, and of course I've got probably no evidence to back it up, but it feels to me like this might be the surge, the wave that then sends COVID-19 into the endemic category.
You know, Bill, I would love to agree with you, but I don't think we know that, right? So, I left to our own devices. None of us want another epicurve, right? We don't want another hill to climb. They're so terrible.
No.
But I don't think we know. And some of that is because of BA4 and 5, these other two variants that we're seeing. You know, we seem to have seen this transmission arc that starts in South Africa. And some of that maybe not just it's more likely in South Africa, it's just South Africa has an amazing vaccine surveillance system and they do genomic sequencing on so many samples. They're probably one of the best in the world. So they detect things earlier and then they give us a warning. So I think you need to give us a couple months to be able to say we're endemic. What I would say is that I do believe there will be ongoing vaccine recommendations for people. The frequency of that is unclear right now, but I wouldn't be surprised that there's at least an annual recommendation, just similar to what we see with the flu.
I had wondered about that. South Africa has become this early warning system country for COVID, because now they were talking about the B4 and 5. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of strange the way that works. It starts in South Africa, at least with this Omicron family. Is the news good that the fact that these variants are still within the same lineage of Omicron?
Yeah, that is really good news, because that, you know, that concept of vaccine changing into something else, I mean, not vaccine, but the infection modifying itself into having significant changes in its viral sequencing is, I think, of concern to all of us. There's no indication that we're seeing a huge, what we would call, genetic leap, you know, from, think of it, from one corridor in your school to a whole other corridor. We haven't seen that happen yet. So we can trace lineage.
Well, when I get my flu shot in August, there may be an opportunity. If Moderna's got an Omicron-specific booster coming up that might even be available in August or September. We'll see. The word is from Moderna, and of course, this is the company saying it looks really good, but there hasn't been a lot of outside backing on the thing yet, but it looks like it could be very, very promising for a booster.
Yeah, I think that is true. That is what they're saying. And, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the 6 month to 5 year shots. Remember, they've been on hold. I think we've talked about them for months now. We do expect that they'll get approval quite soon. And we're ready for that. And I would say the community is ready for that.
All right, for the younger folks. All right, Dr. Cullen, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. We learn so much when we have you on the program. I always look forward to your visits.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks. And thanks, Eddie, for those good questions. And until next time, you guys have a great day.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cullen. We're going to pause right here, and then I'll come back. I want to talk with Eddie a little bit about what he's been up to right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Always good information, Eddie Celaya from Dr. Cullen. She always gives us a great interview. Eddie Celaya with us, cannabis beat writer for the Arizona Daily Star. And he is the host of, he's done five podcasts.
Yep.
Hear Weed Go, W-E-E-D Go. And there's also a newsletter that's available. Both of the Go to the Arizona Daily Star for more on both those availabilities?
Yeah, for the newsletter, you definitely want to go to the Tucson.com, Arizona Daily Star's website. But for the podcast, you can get that through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, pretty much all of the major streaming platforms.
And you're doing a good job. You had some medical professionals on your most recent podcast talking about some of the marijuana providers are saying, oh my goodness, this is going to cure this or that, or it's great health benefits. And you had some health providers on their health specialists talking about kind of giving the truth about all of it.
Yeah, I had some UA researchers on. It was actually my second newest one now. Yeah. The last one just dropped Wednesday. But they really explained what some of their research is, and it's really groundbreaking. And because of federal prohibition still, they're not actually allowed to do any research on the psychoactive elements of cannabis. But the elements right now that are kind of deemed inert or that we really haven't studied, they are able to. And some of the findings are amazing. Just with terpenes, which really give cannabis their smell, there's some evidence that those actually might have just as much pain-fighting capability as psychoactive elements like THC.
Yeah, learning a lot of stuff about this area. And of course, it's just exploded economically, Eddie. It's a year and a half since Arizona made recreational marijuana legal. The prices are unlike the rest of with inflation, you know, at a record what is it, a 40-year high or something. Marijuana prices are going down.
It's pretty amazing.
Why? Just the competition, or
a little bit has to do with competition, but in every state, each market is self-contained, so there's not like any shipping from like way up in California or New York or really anywhere else. So there's no real big charges, I guess, like that are really affecting it. So
it's Arizona grown.
Everything is Arizona grown and produced.
Give me an overview about the number of licenses. Can you give me the big picture here in Pima County?
So right now there are about 160 give or take 5 or 6 active licenses within the state. Within Pima County, about 17 or 18. And of those, I believe 15 of them are active right now. So 15 dispensaries. They're pretty spread
gold
out.
Gold mine, isn't it? To get
it
one
really
of these.
Is,
and how do you get one of these licenses?
Well, that's the real rub. There probably won't be any more licenses to be given out. If you want a license now, you kind of have to buy into the game. And with the recent issuing of the 26 social equity licenses, I believe that brings Arizona to 176 total. Those will pretty much be it, because the amount of licenses is tied to the amount of commercial pharmacies within the state. And so for every...
Who is the licensing authority?
The Arizona Health Department.
Mm-hmm. So is it done then on a lottery basis?
It was. It was really cool. I actually went down and saw it. You would think maybe they had like a lottery ball. Actually, it was just a computer program. So they pushed a button twice and it gave them two different readouts with the 26 different license winners.
Since you've been doing the podcast and really doing the cannabis beat, what's the reaction been? Are you getting a lot of input from people?
You know, it's really interesting. With the newsletter being a local thing,
yes.
I get a lot of folks who email or call me on my business line and leave me basically tips or story ideas. For the podcast nationally, I get a lot of people reaching out to me, especially from the Midwest, that are like, I can't believe that our newspaper is letting us run this.
These are states that still have very restrictive laws concerning cannabis.
So
they can't believe that, liberal Arizona, I thought you are a really, really conservative state.
Part of it is that, and part of it is just that they're very thankful that I'm able to actually expose folks who maybe are not aware that cannabis is more than just a hippie sort of thing, or more than just a stoner sort of substance now. It's something that people have very good paying jobs and is becoming an integral part of states' economies. So,
all right, Eddie Celaya, we will look for your work at the Arizona Daily Star, also about the newsletter, and then the podcast. And the podcast is called Hear Weed, WEED, Go. And again, where can we hear the podcast? How do we do that?
We can get it off Spotify, Apple iTunes, Audible, anywhere you find your podcast, any streaming service, it'll be there. Hear Weed, Go.
All right. Thank you, Eddie. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next on The Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Here we go. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show guarantee in the summer. We have some fun with this. We say 10 degrees. Well, I'm looking at this weather forecast in Silver City. Make it 15 degrees cooler in their forecast. And we're up at 110 over the weekend. They're looking at mid-90s, overnight lows around 60. That, my friend, is pleasant weather. You can get there in about 3 hours to Silver City and just really enjoy a rather cool weekend, which we can't really say too much about that being the case here in Tucson. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. Let's bring in now Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, who a week ago was on the beach at the Outer Banks in North Carolina, but he is, well, he's by the pool today, I guess. How you doing, Matt?
Well, I'm doing great here by the pool, but I tell you, you had me at the overnight low of 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Scooting my boots out to Silver City, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're out by the pool, probably ready to chill some wine and get going here.
Yeah, for sure. You know, speaking of, you know, when we think about the styles of wine that pair well with these oppressive hot months, rosés typically top the list. And it's no coincidence, Bill, that tomorrow is Arizona Rosé Day.
Ooh.
So a quick drive down to the Sonoyta Elgin Wine Country is going to put you right at the center of the celebrations. Sonoyta Vineyards will be offering 30% off rosé slushes. You get some live music there. AZ Hops and Vines will be featuring some of their rosés as well. Twisted Union Wine Company will be featuring deep discounts on rosés. The list goes on and on. If you're looking for a light and crisp wine to beat this heat, Bill, look no further than rosé tomorrow on Arizona Rosé Day.
Hey, Matt, I think we're all dreaming of a beach somewhere, aren't we?
Yes, keeping with our summer theme, it's tomorrow night's beach party at the Reed Park Zoo. Not quite the kind of beach you enjoyed in Honolulu, Bill, but close enough. It's part of the zoo's summer safari nights program, and tomorrow's theme is beach, baby. So wear your beach gear, your Hawaiian shirt, start the party poolside at the elephant habitat. There's going to be live beach music, a beach scene selfie station, and you definitely don't want to miss dinner at the Zoofari Market that I think serves up some of the tastiest zoo food there is. Head to the beach, Reed Park Zoo Edition, tomorrow night from 5:30 to 8:30.
We love the zoo. In fact, our Reed Park Zoo update's coming up on Wednesday's show. We love Reed Park Zoo. I'm hearing so many good things about the Century Room. What is that, Matt Russell?
Yeah, the Century Room is Hotel Congress's brand new jazz lounge in the old event space that they had for years. They really have reimagined the space, and they've crafted this old-time jazz lounge feel. And they just launched a series of weekly spirits tastings every Sunday and Thursday through the summer. And this Sunday, it's all about Bacanora, kind of a distinct and fun kind of mezcal from Sonora with a popularity rating that really is off the charts. You're going to be guided through four samples of different Bacanoras along with some light bites for just $35. Or you can opt for the dinner package, which is going to include some delicious cuisine from the Cup Cafe. So dinner's at 5 o'clock. The tasting follows at 7, and all the details are at hotelcongress.com.
Back in the pool, Mr. Matt Russell. Stay cool. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt.
Cannonball!
Look out. Here we go. In his Speedo, Matt Russell. All righty. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Mr. Christophan. He does such a great job. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure all the podcasts are up in a very timely manner, usually a couple of hours after the show. Everybody at KVOI, including engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks and the entire team at Bustos Media here in Tucson. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe and have a lovely weekend.